My privilege this morning to share my pulpit with a dear brother in the Lord. I met Brother Duane probably 52 or 53 years ago while a student in Bible school. And he was hot to trot for the Lord then, and he still is. 53 years later, he's still going strong. God
bless
you.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Dad.
You don't plan on quitting?
Nope.
Amen.
Retirement's not in my vocabulary.
Amen.
Well, it's good to be back here. And at Shenango Forks.
Fort Crane.
I've been making that mistake all along, all week. And I almost went to Shenango Forks this morning. Where is Shenango Forks anyway? Up the road, down the road, okay. And it's good to be back home in the Triple Cities. I'm a Vestal kid, born and raised in Vestal, and always find myself able to come back home. This is the place that God raised me up with a vision and a heart to serve the Lord as a missionary. And this is the place. Binghamton, Lake Arrowhead Bible Conference, Calvary Baptist Tabernacle, Vestal, New York. All of these places are holy ground for me because they laid the ground for me to hear the call to go and serve the Lord for my life. I'm grateful to Bible teachers at Practical Bible Training School, Davis Bible College. I'm grateful for those that took me out and help me minister and show me how to preach. Help me to carry on and sing and lead singing and advance the cause of the gospel in New York State. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for you and for my home church that's bought my lunch every day. Every day. Filled my gas tank. Clothed my kids. And I'm so thankful for churches just like you, this church, who believe in missions and believe in sending us out and sending your own, Derek and Jen. We're grateful. It's so neat for me to pastor Teslin. I always pull over there to look for Derek and Jen and to try to find them. Sometimes they're not home, just like me. And their ministry is so much like it was for us when we first came. So they're in Tesla. And about 500 miles or more of north of them on the same road called the Alaska Highway, we found ourselves there as a church planner and missionary pilot. From 1970 to 1980. And God gave us a great ministry there. That church raised me up as a pastor. They taught me to be a pastor. And the finding that God put people into my life that would come to know Christ as their Savior, many. They went on to serve the Lord as missionaries, some of them in the far north coast of Russia. Others have gone out into many different corners of the world from that little church. And it's a wonderful thing. And they come and they visit from different places. They come and visit us. They're at King Ranch. And at mile 81 on the Glen Highway, where we serve now. So we are with Kingdom Air Corps. We spent 46 years with Send International. They were then called Far Eastern Gospel Crusade. Central Alaska Missions, a division of Far Eastern Gospel Crusade. The mission grew to almost 1,000 missionaries. And they work in 21 different countries. And so we were a part of that until they forced retirement upon us at 65. Those are the rules. And so we just said that's good enough for us to move on to a different ministry. And so we founded the Kingdom Air Corps. And the purpose of Kingdom Air Corps was to train up, raise up new missionary pilots and pastors who would take the gospel to the corners of Alaska where there were no churches. You see, for me, what is here in this church? This is my background. This is what I knew. This is the way I was trained to raise up churches and to prepare churches like this at Practical Bible Training School. This is where I got my training and my experience. And so when God called me to be a missionary, he sent me out to establish churches just like this. The same doctrine. The same style of ministry. The same commitment to reach out into the small communities where I was raised, Vestal, to establish other churches just like you. That's been our calling. And I believe I remain faithful to that. I knelt on the platform of Calvary Baptist Tabernacle with my high school sweetheart, Carolyn. And there we were commissioned and hands were laid on to us and I was ordained into the ministry. And we were sent out from Twin Orchards Baptist Church and Calvary Baptist Tabernacle. Here I am, 75 years old, many years later. And I can tell you, without any question, I'm so glad. I'm so glad. I'm blessed. I'm thrilled to look out across this congregation and see people who have supported us and backed us and prayed for us just like you prayed this morning. A huge encouragement. And it keeps us going. And so we're grateful for that. It's not about the money. It's about you and your backing and your love for us and about your support for us and about your sending your very own to come to work alongside of us. Wow! Just think. It's a great picture. It's a biblical picture. It's what I want to read to you about this morning in Romans chapter 15. Here it is. This is what inspired the Apostle Paul. This is the same sort of calling that came upon him. Here is what he heard from the Lord. And what he discovered in ministry as he went along, opening up all of his world in Asia, the Middle East, God put it upon his heart to see those churches, those areas grow and spread and the gospel be preached to the people. I'm telling you, when I'm preaching in Alaska and when I'm preaching and evangelizing in Russia and in Thailand and Wednesday it'll be in India and when I'm over there, I'm thinking about churches like you. This is what needs to be established around the world. The joy that comes to us in worshiping here, hearing the word of God, identifying with the truth of the gospel, and being changed, it thrills me to think this is being established all over the world. And it's hard for you to go there. But I'm telling you, I'm there. I've been there. And I'm traveling there. And this is what needs to be said. Now the people look different. All December, I was in Africa. My son, Joel King, and his wife, Verena, same age as Derek and Jen, they're over there in a very distant, hidden corner of Africa, a place called Lokochogio, up on the Sudan border, right not far from also the Ugandan border. And there Joel is helping to establish a church right there in the community. I preached there 2 months ago. What a thrill. All black people. And a pastor that loves the Lord and preaches the same gospel that we preach. What a thrill it was to look out there in the bushes and see Sunday school classes. Sunday school classes in the bushes. 105 degrees for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. 105 degrees, wake up every morning sweating. First time I ever slept under a mosquito net. Shake your clothes out. Shake out the scorpions. Literally. You don't leave your clothes on the floor in Africa. That's where the scorpions hide. Got him. Picked him up on a church bulletin. I had a church bulletin, just like this. I had this church bulletin, and I picked up this dead scorpion, and I carried it over to my son's apartment. So look at what I got hunting. And the scorpion came alive and jumped off the bulletin down on the floor, and we all jumped up on the chairs. You think it's risky being a missionary pilot? Scorpions are worse. Snakes? Oh, that stuff in Africa. My kids are living there right now. My kids are living there right now. 5 young people shot dead in their backyard in November. His housekeeper, young boy, it's dangerous wherever you go. And so what a thrill it was to see this family, this young family, my grandchildren, thriving. All those African kids come running when we go outside and we start building a bed, making a bed, getting that old lumber, this terrible African lumber, twisted and warped and rough cut. And the kids come running and we taught them how to do woodwork and talk to them about the Lord Jesus every day, anxious to hear about it. Pastor has come and asked us if we'd build a Bible college. Art, are you ready to go? He would, it'd be good. And so, who knows, we'll be building a Bible college in Lokochogio, Africa. We want to help them do that. So this is being established. Churches just like you, it's a thrill. How about Mosul? How about Mosul, Iraq? You ready to go? Some of our missionaries are ready to go. In fact, 2 guys from our church, just like this, in Alaska, are now over in Mosul, helping to defend Sunday schools. Listen. Hear any gunfire? Boom, 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 boom. Boom. It's on the tapes. The videos I was watching when I was preaching in Chiang Mai.
to a group of missionaries who are serving in Iraq today. Former Navy SEALs, former Special Forces guys, former military guys that have been serving in Iraq many tours. Guess what? God's called them to go back as missionaries. This is how Send International was formed, as Far Eastern Gospel Crusade. GIs saw the people. Just in Africa, my heart was going out to those people. I fellowshipped with those people in that little church, just about this big, in Locachogio. That pastor asked me to come and speak on family life. All of the deacons had several wives. We're not used to that. But the guys had all got saved. What do you do with all the wives? Huge problems. Start teaching family life to these poor brothers who don't know what to do with the wives they love. Figure that one out. I was never taught that at practical. And so you've got to delicately work through these cultural difficult other nations' problems. And so God is building his church. Let me tell you, in Africa, it's amazing. The church is growing in Africa beyond anything that you can imagine. My son Joel is flying African pastors all over every day. He picks them up and he moves them to a different location where they put on evangelistic crusades. He flies them over to different places where there's gunfire. In Sudan, we were flying in Sudan and landed in many different places where war has been going on. You know about North Sudan and South Sudan? But the church is thriving in these places. Bible schools are sprouting up everywhere. Men are learning to be pastors and teachers. And the airplanes are full of these brothers flying them out and doing this work in this ministry. It's exciting what's going on. Thailand, Burma, where we've just taken one of our airplanes and trained one of the pilots that is flying now in that little Cessna. One of the very first missionary aircraft that are there. So it's a thrilling thing, I'm telling you. You just look at this church and you just imagine these churches sprouting up everywhere. Don't you think that brings glory to the Lord Jesus? Don't you think he's pleased in heaven today when he sees his church growing and spreading like that? I know. Here we are, the same people. Here we are, people we've grown up with and we've known and have come to this church week after week after week. I know. You wonder what is going on in our faith, with our faith in many different parts of the world. They've asked me to come on Wednesday. A mission that's all Indian, no Americans. I'm going over to where there's a Bible school, and they came last summer to Kingdom Air Corps in Alaska, and they said, this is what we need. We need to train up some of our graduates from the Bible school to fly out there and start churches. Because there's many places in India where there's no roads. And there's hundreds of villages. I'm going to go see them this week. I'm excited. Because God is about his business of establishing his church. All over. Listen to this. Romans. Chapter 15, verse 17. Therefore I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I identify. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God. By what I have said and done, by the power of signs and miracles through the power of the Spirit. So from Jerusalem all the way around to, I never could pronounce this right, Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. This is why I have often been hindered to coming from you to you. There's something goes on in the heart of a church planter. A church planter is somebody who sees in the lives of Gentiles, sinners, the need for conversion, redemption, reconciliation to God. I love it with the eyes that Jesus has given me and the heart that Jesus has given me to see the people. To see the people. We pulled off the highway this morning and there's a hitchhiker. There's a hitchhiker. I saw in that hitchhiker somebody else. Forty-three years ago, a hitchhiker came into Tok. She was a hippie. Remember the hippies? You remember the hippies? Remember, I mean, they were really somebody of another culture. I mean, they were a strange bunch. I was in Bible school. And the hippies were something else. And we didn't understand them, did we? We couldn't quite get it. They were that music, the love-ins, the all of this stuff that was going on. Drugs. We did not identify with them, did we? In 1974, one of them came into town. I didn't know it. I knew everybody in town, 300 people. How many people in Tesla about then?
450 maybe.
It was a town just like Teslin. Derek knows just about everybody in town. I did that too. But I had a church just like this. It was a faith chapel. Faith chapel right here. And it was my first church plant. I was flying Tatlin, Tanacross, Eagle, Chicken. Every Friday we'd have a Chicken Friday Sunday School. We put on a Sunday School up in this little gold mining town of Chicken. You know why it was called Chicken? The early gold miners that were there, they saw all these birds flying around. And finally, one of the guys said, "What are those birds?" And one very knowledgeable man said, "Those are ptarmigan." "Well, we ought to name this town Ptarmigan." Anybody here ever been to Chicken? Good for you. And Chicken. So they said, "Okay, let's put the sign up." And so they'd start to figure out how to spell ptarmigan. They couldn't figure out. Anybody here know how to spell ptarmigan? Are you about like a bunch of old gold miners, all of you? And so they said, well, nobody knows how to spell it. But they look kind of like chickens, so we'll name it Chicken. That's how Chicken got its name. And so we would fly out there every Friday afternoon from Tok. Well, that's kind of the region of what it's like. And we had visions of preaching the gospel in Chicken. And we did to all of those kids. We do the same today, gathering children from Anaktuvik Pass, Allakaket, from Wiseman and Coldfoot. Boy, your foot is cold, believe me, at 87 below zero. And I tell you, but God gives you a heart for those places. That's what's in Derek and Jen today. It's why they're there. It's why we were there. But this hippie came into town. Didn't know anything about it. Her life was truly messed up. She hitchhiked in. All the way from California. And she got there and her life got worse. Out of money. Nowhere to turn. But knowing inside she needed God. So on the last week of December 1974, she turned on the radio, the only radio station in town, Armed Forces Radio Network, AFRN. And she had a job cooking in a little cafe. And as she was cooking early in the morning with a spatula in her hand, Paul Harvey came on the radio with the rest of the story. And it caught her attention. She listened. And the story was about the birds. You've heard it maybe from Paul Harvey. This guy, this farmer, distant from God, married to a Christian wife who on Christmas had left and gone down into the village. And Paul Harvey goes on with the story that a flock of birds came into the yard between the house and the barn. And the birds were coming in and they were landing and they were pecking at something on the ground, and pretty soon there was a snowstorm that came in and the snow was coming down, and the farmer said, "These birds need some help. They need to get in to some shelter." And so he went out there and he tried to help the birds get into the barn. And he took some feed and he put along the way and he thought they'd follow the feed into the barn. They didn't do it. And he became very passionate about the birds needing help. The big storm was upon them. And so he thought, if only I could become a bird, I could explain to them, get in the barn. Then down in the village, the church bells rang for the New Year's service. His wife was there. Click. He got it. Jesus came. He came to become a man. And he became one who would be like us and yet be like our Heavenly Father and die for us and show us the way. The hippie girl got it. She says, I've got to find a Bible. And so she started figuring out where she'd go. She asked in town if there was a Bible in Tok. And they said, no, there's no Bibles in Tok. And so she said, there's got to be a Bible. She's Catholic. And she went over to the Catholic church to find a Bible. The door was locked. It was 30 below zero. She quickly went back to her apartment and then realized there was another little church down the street called Faith Chapel. She put on her clothes again and a mask over her face and to stay warm, and she went down in the dark and tried the door at Faith Chapel. It was unlocked. She came in. Right there where those Bibles are. And those books, she turned on the light switch and found them. Got one of the Bibles. Got a book called Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey. And took a check and wrote a check thinking she better pay for them. Put it right up on the pulpit. Went back, read the first chapters of Late Great Planet Earth, how she could become saved and born again, got down on her knees and like a good Catholic, lit a little candle and prayed and asked Jesus to forgive her of her sin, finding the answer to her life's need of being reconciled with God. On Sunday morning, I came to my pulpit. Here's a check. Kathleen Gray. Who is this? Where did this happen? What's this all about? I went to the people of the church. No, they didn't know. Finally, one of the ladies said, oh, that's the girl that works up there at the corner cafe. Derek goes down to the cafe every morning for coffee, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He's meeting the people. He's rubbing shoulders with them. He's getting to know them. He's sharing his testimony. So I started looking for her. Finally, I took the check into the cafe. And I walked up to that lady in red. Is this you, Kathleen Gray? Yes, it's me. She'd been found out. I said, what's the story? She began to share about the life that she'd lived. I said, you've got to tell Carolyn. This lady. You got to tell her. That's her ministry back there. She put all those Bibles and those books back there. You got to tell her. I brought Kathleen home. And she told us and our four kids the miracle that took place in her life. We cried our hearts out. We were thrilled at what God did in her life. Carolyn would go on and do her work of the ministry and disciple her. Love her to the Lord. Introduce her to other Christian women. She wrote in her journal in 1975, "What a joy to find Christian women that would teach me and help me to grow in the Lord." I'm telling you. We trained her up. We raised her up. We took her down to Alaska Bible College. She went there 2 years, found her husband, Ray Donzilla. They got married in a little Indian church at Galkana by the president of the Bible College. They went on to Maryland and Pennsylvania, raised 5 wonderful children, and then they became, and then Ray died of cancer 12 years ago. I had cancer. And I went to the AOPA, Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. I asked them help what to do about my flight physical. Kathy was working for AOPA in the next cubicle of the lady who answered questions from pilots. When she heard the lady talking to Mr. King in Alaska, could that be Dwayne King? Yes. Get his phone number. And we became connected again. Carolyn and I would stop and visit her in Greencastle, Pennsylvania. And we invited her to come to be a part of Brooks Range Bible Camp. She was the Bible teacher. Years went on. And last August, July, August, she came back to work at Kingdom Air Corps on a mission. I was the mission. She was a short-term missionary, only 1 week. And it was a successful mission. This is called full circle. This is what Paul was talking about. The blessing and the joy of seeing people saved, born again, lives renewed, lives reconciled to the Lord Jesus. And it happens anywhere. As we saw the hitchhiker out on the street today, they're all over. But God is calling us to be rejuvenated with our eyes to see his people that he's drawing to himself. Our hearts to be renewed and to understand people need the Lord. Amen. That's the song I requested at my funeral. People need the Lord. And when we are rejuvenated in our spirit and we can see that miracles take place like this lady and like many other people going up and down the Alaska Highway this summer, Derek sees them. God needs to awaken our evangelistic hearts because we've got the message. We have it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Listen to this. Verse 16, so from now on we regard no one in the worldly point of view. We just see a lot of people. And how do we regard them? What do we think of them? What do we think of those people? Who are they? Oh, they're hitchhikers. Oh, they're druggies. Oh, they'll never listen. And somehow, I've been a neighbor to that person, and he will never get saved. He encourages us to take a different point of view. Yes. See people for the way he sees them. And it begins here. We do not become missionaries by buying a ticket and crossing an ocean. It happens right here. Binghamton. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, because we were all the same way. Until we were saved. We do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. She is a new creation. I've seen it enough to say, yeah, I'll marry you. No, she didn't ask me to marry her. She just almost did.
You caught on quick.
She got caught on quick. I asked her to marry me from a hot air balloon. And she was on the ground. I kept my distance. And as I floated across the field in the hot air balloon, I threw out a great big banner that says, Kathy, will you marry me? And she saw the banner and she jumped out of the chase vehicle and went running across the field. I told the balloon pilot, my buddy, in our ministry that Jesus is Lord balloon, I told the balloon pilot, cut the gas. And I yelled to her, running across the field, what's your answer? And she came running with all her might and said, yes, yes, I'll marry you. That was a month ago. December, or whatever. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Our message, you can know Jesus. You can have forgiveness of your sin. You can have a new life. You can be a believer and know the joy of Jesus as your Savior. You. We've been doing it all week. Wesley and I have been working with a bunch of pagans. Mechanics. Airplane mechanics. We've been doing it all week. Loving them to the Lord Jesus. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Where is it? Jesus committed it to us. He put it on our shoulders. We know it. We've got it. Here we are. We're being taught it all of the time. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. The responsibility is really, truly on our shoulders. We know it. And we walk by these people every day. We implore you, he says, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Listen, the person out there who says, the people out there who says, I can't face an angry God with my sin. Listen, he who finds reconciliation with Christ through the blood shed upon the cross finds the greatest peace and love he will ever experience. And the hope of standing before him at the gates of heaven. People need the Lord. We've got it. Give it. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the wonderful things you have done for us. We are really grateful. We are thankful. And we praise you for your love for us and how you provided this way through your Son Jesus to give us eternal life. Thank you, Father, that we were all considered lost, like hippies, like pagans. But you found us. And today we have the hope of heaven. I pray, Father, that you will work in this service, that there will be each one here that will say, what is my place? What is my part? What will I have to offer up to Jesus for my life? I pray here will be those who will say, I am not going to waste my life. I pray that there will be those who will say, here I am, Lord. Send me. Here I am, Lord. Use me. And begin the journey to make a commitment to serve you the rest of their life. Wholly, completely. Bless this church, we pray, to raise up those who will be your servants across the globe. In Jesus' name, amen.